You've landed inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
Hello, hello, everyone. Tamara here, your host. It is so good to be back with you this week. I know, I was just with you last week, but still, I got a new microphone. It lights up when it's on. I got a new HD camera. I feel like it's a whole new world for me over here in my little work from home podcast studio. All right, let's get to it. I got a couple announcements for you, and then we will dive into today's topic, which is all about how siloing innovation is actually demoralizing to everybody else. It actually has these really unfortunate, unintended consequences that I know we don't mean to do by making innovation, you know, behind the black curtain or for the select few. But we're going to dig into that and we're going to talk a little bit about how to avoid it. So some tips for opening up innovation, making it accessible. All right, let me start with the announcements. So, announcement one, if you haven't heard, we have an incredible group on Facebook going. It is called the Leadership and Innovation Community. It is a closed group for leaders and innovators who are looking to be confident innovators, recognized for their innovation, influence, and value. So if that's you, I suggest you come join us because not only do we post the podcast there, you've already got that covered. We also do these 10-minute live bursts of innovation. I post stuff. I get to connect with people and answer questions. Other fellow innovators and leaders put their questions and their insights onto the community. It's pretty awesome. So there's a link in the show notes, I'm sure. But if you're on Facebook, just type in leadership. I think it's Leadership and Innovation Community with Tamara Gontor, me. So go join us there. I'd love to see you there. It'd be so great. There is so much innovation goodness going on there. It's really, I'm so proud of the community. All right, that's announcement one. Announcement two, also a moment of a, hey, if you haven't heard, we've got an innovation workshop coming out very soon. So what this workshop includes is a 4-part video series and a live webinar. And get this, are you ready for it? It's free. I know. How crazy, Tamara. Yeah, it's so full of value. It's just, it's incredible. We're going to talk about the 3 steps to becoming a confident innovator, how to influence others and get buy-in for your ideas, how to transform your innovation journey. Oh, it's going to be so good. And of course, there's always, always some surprise nuggets and bonus giveaways and materials inside it as well. So if you haven't, go to our website and click on the Innovation Workshop on the homepage, and you will find it there. Our website is gotolaunchstreet.com, gotolaunchstreet.com. All right, those are my 2 big announcements. Let's dig in. All right, this is all about siloing innovation and why that has these incredible unintended consequences for everybody else. And I want to start us off by sharing a story, an experience that I have, because I think this woman's experience, really her story, really does show how siloing innovation is so bad for your innovation efforts and for the rest of your team. So I was doing this workshop back in the days when we did things live, and it was a range of people from a range of different companies. So there were leaders from consumer goods companies, leaders from a law firm, and leaders from the city water. So all over the board. And we were talking about innovation, and I was sharing with them the definition of innovation, how to unlock their everyday innovator style, all the stuff you've heard me talk about. And at the break, a woman came up to me, Laura. And she said, Tamara, I have a question for you. She said, I work at a national law firm. So this law firm is huge, right? This isn't just a mom and pop shop. Not there's anything wrong with that. Those are amazing. But this is a, you know, multi-billion dollar law firm with lawyers everywhere. She said, so I'm in this firm. And she said, we know we need to be innovative. We know we've got to shift how we do things. She said, so what my company did is they created an innovation team, a cross-functional team. And that team is responsible for going around the organization, assessing where things can be changed, going behind, you know, doing what they do, and then coming to us and telling us where we need to innovate and what we need to change. What do you think about that? Well, I answered her question with a question. And I said, well, Laura, how does that make you feel? And you know what, everyone? She visibly sunk inward. I could see it in her demeanor. And she said, you know, Tamara, she said, actually, it makes me feel pretty bad. It's like they're telling me that I don't have anything to add. Like my ideas don't matter. She said, you know, I'm the one out there doing the work every day, talking to our clients. Why don't my ideas matter? She said, you know, honestly, it's really demoralizing. This is the least engaged I've ever been. Wow, right? Let's think about this for a second. In an effort to drive innovation and create accountability, which I'm all for, this company created a cross-functional team of people that got to wear the cool shirts, got to innovate, got to go behind the black curtain, and then come out and tell everybody else what to do. Now, you can tell by my language how I feel about this. In doing that, they sent the message. This is the unintended consequence part. They sent the message to everybody else that, hey, you're not the innovative ones. Your ideas don't matter. The minds of these six, they're the ones that matter. Now, I don't think that was their intention, by the way. I'm pretty sure it wasn't. But that's what happens when we silo innovation, intention or not. We create this really negative, unintended consequence of telling everybody else on our team, your ideas don't matter. That lowers their engagement, it lowers their motivation, it lowers their drive, it lowers their innovation, right? All of that decreases by elevating the select few. And here's the thing, let's just do the math for a moment. We all know math is not my strong point, so I'm gonna keep it simple. If you had a team of 100 people, why would you only want to tap the power of innovation in 5 when you've got 95 other brilliant minds to tap? If you have a team of 1,000, why would you tap 50 and not the other 950? I've never understood that. But let's go beyond the math for a second, because that's problem one, right? You're leaving a lot of human potential on the table. That's another unintended consequence of siloing innovation. So, okay, hold on. Let me back up for a second. So you silo innovation, you make it because of job title, because it's a part of a cross-functional team, or simply because one person is the cool person with a purple streak and they get to be the innovative one, but everybody else doesn't, right? We all have that person in our company that's treated a little bit differently. So you do that and you've already out of the gate created two major unintended consequences. One is you're not tapping the power of the human potential that you're paying for, by the way. This is your team, your colleagues. That's, if you ask me, that's a lot of wasted time, money, and human potential. So that's number one. And the second thing is you've actually demoralized and brought down their engagement and motivation in doing that. If those two aren't reasons enough, I don't know what to say, because to me, that is. And what I've seen, actually, not just to me, really what I've experienced and what I've seen with my clients is that those two things hinder a team and an organization's ability to pivot and adapt and innovate. So here's the other third unintended consequence of siloing innovation. And I'm going to share this in a story in a client that I used to work with. So at this client, they used to have this disruptive innovation team, and they would pull people from the brand teams who they thought had innovative ideas. So it seemed like a reward. And they would go off to this disruptive innovation team where they would, you know, do their magic, go explore the world for new ideas, do a lot of market research, come up with cool ideas. And they did. They were great, actually. Brilliant people. This isn't their fault. They would come up with these brilliant ideas. I'll never forget, there was one idea. It was actually a kitchen product. And the team, Disruptive Innovation team, came up with it. They then went and presented it to the brand team that would then have to own it and move the ball forward with it, right? So they were trying to transition the idea from the cool innovation lab to the base brand. So, all right, in theory, that makes sense, right? Now you're kind of putting it into reality. But I will tell you, this became the biggest one-way tennis match you've ever seen. It was like the Disruptive Innovation team would you know, get out their racket and they'd hit that ball, that idea over the net, and the brand team on the other side was literally ducking and weaving everything they did. They want nothing to do with it. Why? Well, from their perspective, this was just more work. They had no buy-in for their innovation. That's the third unintended consequence. When you silo innovation, when you finally bring it back to the people who are supposed to implement it, there's no buy-in. There's no belief in the idea. They weren't there for the journey the whole time. All they see is, hey, you're trying to push your brilliance on me and give more work to me. I already got enough to do. So that was the third unintended consequence that I see time and time again. So, all right, just to sum it up, right? Silo innovation by title, by cross-functional team, by location, however you do it. And number one, you're not tapping human potential. Number two, you're demoralizing the team. And number three, a lot of balls, ideas get dropped because there's no buy-in to move the ideas forward. So they stay in theory land. Nothing ever happens with them. Wow, isn't that a lot of wasted time and energy? So hopefully I've convinced you that siloing innovation is not best for you. It's not best for your team, and it's not best for your organization. And I would say that's even triply true now as we deal with uncertainty and uncharted paths ahead of us. We got to get everybody engaged. So if you've listened to my podcast for a while now, you know that all of my work is about tapping human potential and unlocking every person's ability to innovate and to contribute in that way in the work that they do. It allows for more innovative ideas. It allows for people to have a stronger, more valued voice. It allows for more innovation in this world on a personal level. And frankly, more satisfaction, because we as humans actually get joy out of innovating, creative problem solving, strategic thinking. We actually love it. Our brains love it. So very simply put, here's how we avoid this siloing trap. Because you might be asking, hey, Tamara, that's great, but someone's got to be accountable, right? Absolutely. Accountability is key. But here's one thing I want you to think about to avoid the trap of siloing. Number one is, if you have a person responsible for innovation, whether their title is VP of innovation, president, or team lead, I don't care what the title is, but you know, they've got on their job description to drive a culture of innovation. I want that role to not be about a doer of innovation. That's where it gets siloed, but an enabler of innovation. Their job shouldn't be to go off behind the black curtain or even to create a team behind the black curtain, but to get everybody that they interact with to ignite innovation, be an enabler of innovation. The second thing is, I'd say, in all truth, everybody should have the responsibility of innovation. They should have permission to innovate, and they should have the tools to innovate. One way we can avoid the siloing trap is making sure that everybody on the team has that permission to innovate, not just personally from a, hey, listen, Bob, I want you to innovate. It's good. Bring those ideas, right? Bring that experimentation. That is important, but also in the sense of how their job is structured, actually giving them the room to test out and try new ideas and actually bring those ideas forward. And the second part of that, right, is having the tools to innovate, giving them the resources, access to the videos and exercises like we have at the Everyday Innovators Tribe. That's why teams sign up for our membership platform. It's because they know that everybody is responsible for innovation, not just the leadership, not just the person with the title. They also know that when everybody innovates, they move forward faster with longer lasting, more meaningful solutions for their SEMs, for themselves, for their clients, for their marketplace. So we got to give ourselves permission, the mindset, but also the tools to innovate. And that's at all levels. That is so important. I hope you really hear me on that. This isn't just about giving the select few the tools. That's still siloing it, even if you're expecting everyone to do it. It's about opening that up and giving everybody the bandwidth, that permission, but also the resources to innovate. You know, for a lot of people out there, our ability to innovate just feels a little dusty, a little rusty, a little dormant. We just got to bring it back out. Everybody needs permission. They need bandwidth and they need tools to innovate. I will tell you, it is incredible for me to see teams that bring everybody to the tribe because they innovate together and they have this common language of innovation because we're giving them that, right? This platform, this language of innovation that is empowering, that is accessible, that is tangible and real. So we're giving everybody on the team that. So everybody from the receptionist to the client manager, to the salesperson, to the president of the team, like everybody is moving forward together. And everybody from their perspective is bringing innovation to the table. In another episode, I'm going to talk about creating a complete innovation feedback loop, because that is another way to make sure that you are tapping the power and the innovation of everybody on your team, but making it go way beyond the black box. Do you know what I'm talking about? That idea of void where people submit and then they have no idea what happens to it. And it just feels like this like black hole of submission. And when that happens, we then don't submit more because we don't know what happened to our ideas. Frankly, we don't feel valued and we don't feel heard. And when that happens, we stop innovating. So I'll talk about that in another podcast. What I want you to know for now is that to avoid that trap of siloing and those really unfortunate, unintended consequences, which have impact on the bottom line, I want you to think about how you give your team permission and tools to innovate, and how you create those accountable for innovation, how you create them, turn them into enablers of innovation instead of doers of innovation. So for example, my job at my company, right, isn't to be the one always thinking of the innovation and doing. It's enabling others, giving other people the space and the tools and the permission they need to ignite innovation. I'll give you a really small example on that to close out. And I was just talking about this with our Everyday Innovators tribe about how important critical thinking skills are. It's really a driver of innovation and so essential right now where what we did yesterday does not work today anymore. We've got to think differently and critically about the world around us. So someone on my team came to me with a challenge, and my inclination is to jump to solution. Part of that is because, right, like I've been there, done that, right? So I'm like, okay, well, I know how to solve this. Let's do this. Well, I got into this unfortunate habit of doing that for a couple of months there. Didn't even realize that I was doing that. I was just trying to move quickly and move forward. And so when this person came to me with a challenge the other day, the first thought in my head was, well, why didn't you just solve this? It's like you're capable of this. And then I realized, oh my gosh, she's coming to me with this challenge because I'm clearly taking away that permission and breathing room, bandwidth, whatever you want to call it, to innovate. I've started owning it. I've started giving people solutions. And as a leader, as an innovator, someone who wants to drive innovation across everybody, not just the siloed select few, we got to make sure we're not doing that. So I turned to her and I said, you know what? I'm not sure. What do you think? And then we brainstormed for a little bit, but at every brainstorm, at every idea, I said, huh, tell me more. Huh, how would you do that? Interesting. What angle is that? I pushed it back on her. And by the end of that meeting, she came up with a brilliantly innovative idea that was going to solve the problem we were going to. You know, one of the women in our tribe, she works at an IT company and she's absolutely brilliant. And they're moving pretty fast, especially right now. We were talking about this kind of need to be the solution provider, especially when you're the leader and you've got more years of experience and, right, you know kind of what works and what doesn't work, at least what you think. In all honesty, half of what we know is now wrong. So we got to be open to new ideas, but you get the point. She said, you know, I just realized, Tamar, as we were talking about this, she had this big aha moment. She said, you know what? I just realized that if I want to enable innovation across my organization, even when I know the answer, I need to stop and not give it and let them figure it out, because they will sharpen their critical thinking skills, They'll bring more innovation. They'll bring new ideas, and they'll be stronger leaders for it. She said, I've got to stop with my need to move quickly and give people the solutions just because I've had more years of experience. I know more of the information than they do at my level. I thought what she said was so profound of like, even if I have the answer, I don't have to give it. Think about that for a second. If you're in a leadership role, where can you not give the answer and give your team permission to innovate? Not silo who gets to bring the innovation. Give everybody the chance. You can provide your input. Of course, you should help guide their thinking and give them the gift of the knowledge that you have. But let them be the critical thinkers. Let them be the innovators. All right. I feel like I went a little bit off on a tangent here. I think we all know I'm known for doing that. But it all relates into siloing innovation. So get rid of those unintended consequences. Open up permission. Allow people to innovate. Give them the tools so that they feel that innovation is tangible and real for them. And hey, if you're in a leadership role, stop siloing it so you're the only one being the innovator. Take a step back and give other people the chance to innovate as well. All right. Awesome being with you. Hopefully I'll see you on the Facebook group, in the workshop. With that, Tamara, out.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, launchstreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.